This passage is all about growing up, isn't it? The second thing is this picture. What is that one? To not be tossed by waves, back and forth and back and forth. Yes. And this one? It could symbolize the same thing, but it would be blown about. Remember, Paul was shipwrecked on Crete, and he knew what it meant to be blown about from here to there, blown up and shipwrecked. What about this one? What was that? It's a loaded dice. It's a ancient Roman dice. And there was something that it represented in the text. Craftiness. The craftiness and deceitful scheming that growing up in Christ avoids, that it can detect because one is acquainted with truth, can detect error. So we've just reviewed our text from last week, and we'll take a look at this, our text this next week. The idea was this: there are obstacles to growth that we're trying to avoid in our text. First, immaturity, that we're no longer infants. The instability of being spiritually tossed back and forth or blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Avoiding gullibility, that is, not being taken in by the cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Now, the next thing, again, the big picture is that we're looking at reasons or purposes of God for my own growth and preparation in Christ. And particularly, the idea that we need to share Christ's vision for our lives. Sharing Christ's vision for our lives will include that my life is not only in him, but there is service with him and for him so that the world can see that Jesus is Christ at work, is at work. In the first Advent, he appeared and people got to see and observe his life. And they found out what God was really like as they watched Jesus walk and talk and teach. And between that and this last Advent that we sang about just now, he reveals himself through his people. He shows himself through gifted people. That's why he gave gifts to men, as Paul talks about here in Ephesians chapter 4. So that is where we're headed. Would you read with me God's word? We'll read and begin with verse 11 and go through 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. To prepare God's people for works of service or acts of service done for each other, but ultimately in service to God, so that the body of Christ might be built up. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So we're going to take a look at some of these things. Remember, as we closed last Sunday, we were talking about speaking the truth in love and how important that was. And we looked at some illustrations of that. As we closed, or toward the close, we had these illustrations. Now, let's see if you can remember this. What is the crunched car an illustration of? You would know about this. It was kind of an illustration of what if a mechanic said something, you know, your car's in great shape, you've taken good care of it, but later you find out your brakes don't work, and you have an accident. And what you would think, if you went to the technician and told him, why didn't you tell me that I didn't have any brake fluid? And he said, well, I didn't want you to feel bad. Plus, to be honest, I was afraid you might get upset with me. I want this to be a safe place. I want you to feel accepted, totally accepted and loved. Well, you'd be furious. The second picture was that of a doctor who says, you're a specimen of health. And later, you have a heart attack. And you go to the doctor and you say, why didn't you tell me about that? And he says, well, I knew your body was in worse shape, but if I tell people things like that, then people get offended. And it's kind of bad for business. They don't want to come back. I want you to know that this is a safe place where you'll feel loved and accepted. What would you think? You'd be furious. You'd be furious. And the third one we didn't get to. You see this little group of sheep. I had several people come up and say, what's the deal with the sheep? So I'll explain that. Sheep are kind of an image, a biblical image of Christians. And so this is church. The sheep gathered around together. Yeah, this is church. And imagine this scenario where in a church you get the message something like this. Don't worry if you mismanage your anger. Nobody here will talk to you about that because, well, we don't like conflict. Don't worry if you just go to church to get something and never give. We'll never ask you about your self-focused life of expectation because, well, you know, then times people leave and they get mad. We might occasionally talk about sin, especially if it's sin out there where it doesn't have any particular application, but you can be sure that we're not going to talk about your sin because we don't want people to feel good or feel bad. We want people to feel good. The goal for us in walking out of this building is feeling good. This last image kind of challenges us a little bit because we do often walk out feeling really good about being together. But it could be that in the church there's a complacency that we don't talk about our errors, our failings, because of all of those reasons. We don't want people to be hurt or offended or to go away. And yet this passage talks about speaking the truth in love as part of growing up in Christ. Now that's a tough one. Remember, speaking the truth in love, there's probably all of us that have been a little bit skinned by truth, or there's a term for it, sometimes church damaged by people who speak truth with not a lot of love in that. So how do we live this out? You can almost feel like when I hear the words speaking the truth in love, what does that mean? Does that mean people being so honest with each other, you have a license to hurt? Now remember that this series that we're going through follows a series. What was that series about? It was about encouragement. And there were some guidelines for speaking the truth in love that came out of our encouragement season. And I'd like to go through a few of those guidelines. First, it was one guideline. Our fellowship with each other is based on our shared life in Christ, and it's focused on our growth in Christ. So anything that we share should be focused from that perspective. It's a shared life in Christ. We are in fellowship with each other and with Christ, and it should be focused on our growth in Christ. So that helps us pare out a lot of stuff. For example, the word preference. It helps us say, you know what? This is preference. This may not be gospel. This may not be this may not be helpful because it's my preference for how I like and want things. Sharing the truth in love also is that needs this guideline. I'm never permitted to disregard the effect of my words might have on other people. That really qualifies how we speak and share with each other again. I can never just dump on somebody. I have to stop and I have to think. I cannot disregard the effect my words have on others. Why? Because human beings are involved. Eternal souls are involved. We have to care for and love each other. Another thing that came out of that series was that it's our responsibility as Christians to tune into the impact of our words in every situation and to select only those things that reflect a sensitivity to the needs of others. So we have to spend a little bit of time figuring out what is the need before we share the truth in love. We have to be sensitive to them. To never speak hard words to someone unless your love for that person has formed a vision of who that person could become. A vision that generates tender feelings for the other person. That's how the love part gets woven into the truth-telling. You're sharing out of tender feelings for the concern and love for that person, a vision of what that person could be in Christ, about Christ's love for that person and how Christ could transform that, perhaps that person's life. And then to never speak hard words. If you discern that you're demanding a change in the other person for your own sake, it's another good filter. Is it for my own sake? Am I uncomfortable because it's not my preference? We have to filter those things out, basically, to figure out what matters, to say, what are the majors that we're striving toward in becoming more like Christ, doing what Christ wants or expects of us as a people, and being what he wants for his people. We have to focus on those major issues and the minor issues to let go of it. So that's what it means, I think, to speak the truth in love. We're filtering things, and we also learned that it's best done in an ongoing supportive relationship. Anything else that you'd add to that for speaking the truth in love? Yes. Very good. A self-assessment. AA has a term for that. I love AA stuff. It's really good. Is it called a ruthless self-assessment? Something like that. That's very good. Okay. Well, we looked at some things that we could avoid. Let's also take a look at some indicators of growth. Indicators of growth. Or you could say, if we were to grow up, what might it look like? Maybe what's a thumbprint of maturity? And I think part of growth is just wanting to grow. Not wanting to, remember the picture of the baby? Not wanting to be, feed me, feed me, feed me. I have, through the years, served in a variety of churches and settings. And there's one person that always appears someplace. And that's that person that's just, feed me, feed me, feed me. Well, it is wham. It's a lot of wham, but they come off as if their expectation of being fed constantly is what Christianity is about. And if we're learning anything here, we're learning that it's both taking in and it's also offering what Christ has birthed into us. Remember the picture of Jesus triumphantly rising from the dead and then distributing gifts to his church. This triumphant picture. And he gives these gifts so that we can use these gifts in blessing and ministering to others. The whole picture is reversed. It's going out. The Holy Spirit's filling us up and gifting us, and then it's going out and reaching out to others. But we need to want to grow. He assumes, I think Paul assumes, that every believer who has been born again desires to grow. They really want to grow in Christ. It's unusual and it's abnormal not to want to grow. Yes. Any sort of what? I think that's fairly accurate. And that it's all about them. It's all about them. People meeting their needs. Church is designed to meet their needs. And church is so much bigger than that. Church is the bride of Christ becoming. It's always about growing in him. And to be just stuck where you just feel like, you know, it's your due to get is not a healthy situation. Well, there is a possibility that could be the case, you know, and yet that's a pretty easy way to put responsibility for things on somebody else instead of accepting one's own responsibility. In most situations, we can find and experience God's life-giving growth and truth where we're planted in many situations. It's there for us if we're open, if we're wanting to grow. Yes? Yes. Being rigorously honest with ourselves, that would be a beginning, wouldn't it? It would just be a good beginning. How do you notice growth? And maybe this gets a little bit more to what you were asking, Brenda. I'd like to suggest a few things. Have I grown up just because I can quote scripture? Have I grown up just because I've joined a church? I don't think so. You see, you begin to see growth in a person, and I know this is how Christ has gotten hold of me at times. It's when my desires, my responses, my goals, my aspirations, I yield to Christ. That there is a real difference sometimes between those things and what Christ wants. And I find when I yield, I often grow. Here's a simple one, growth in Christ. I'm able to manage disappointment better instead of wah. I can handle things, disappointments. I'm able to forgive others, reconcile, and begin again. Now, this is the tough thing about church today in North America. You can just go someplace else. You can always go someplace else. And never work out the stuff that you have with another believer. And yet, time and time again, it seems like the New Testament is pointing us to forgive one another, to love each other, to be gracious in forgiving one another, and to reconcile with one another, and then to start over. So I think that's part of maturity. The ability to get out of self and love others in word and deed. That seems to be a growth thing. That you care to invest in the body of Christ. Investing from him, Christ, that is Christ. The whole body is joined and held together. This points to an ongoing process of harmony. So one sign that you might be immature or unstable or gullible or going in the wrong way is that you prefer to be alone and isolated, thinking that solo Christianity is an okay thing. You don't want to be connected. You don't have to be involved. You don't want to cooperate with anybody else. That is, I think, a sign that you're not as immature as you think you are. It's when you don't want those things. That you invest in the body of Christ. From him, the whole body. Now here Paul is alluding to two things. The body of Christ as the physical part and what it's being built up into. They're being joined together, it says, held by every supporting ligament. This breathes connection, this imagery. It breathes connection. Okay, somebody mentioned last Sunday the difference between ligaments and tendons. Okay? Anybody want to give a real quick one? Quick definition? Okay? Did you get that? You could hear that? Ligaments connect bone to bone. So that's what's being used here, the word ligament. So what do we have an image of with that idea? The structure. The structure. It isn't a pile of bones, it's a skeleton, right? All connected, piece to piece. We're all being connected, it says, by this ligament. So going solo is not the kind of image that we find here. We are meant to be connected. It means that we are meant to invest in the unity of this body, being supported and held together. When a church is in harmony, it points to unity. It points to maturity. Unity typifies maturity. Another thing I think you see is that you want to love others. I mean, not just emotion, but action. In fact, emotion may get in the way. If we just define primarily love by action, it says, Paul says, this church grows and builds itself up in love. So there's this living process of vitality where love is experienced. And if you go to church without love for other people, a willingness to be involved, that's an impediment to your growth. You need to be able to identify the things that get in the way, that cause you not to grow. We don't want to be babies forever, infants forever. We don't want to be juvenile. We want to become all that we can be in Christ. We need to grow together. And this is probably one of the most critical indictments of the church in America. We have too many people who are soloing it. It's too easy to do. It would be too easy to sit and come and leave, and sit and come and leave, and repeat that process. It's too easy to do that. It's too easy to sit and complain about this and that, and yet not invest. Investment's important. And I think that'll require a few things of us. I think it'll require sinking our roots deep both into Christ and into the body of Christ, of risking with each other. There's an interesting group of caves in South Africa. These are some pictures of those caves. And in the second one, can you see the little thing about this big around going across the floor of the cave? Well, that's a tree root. It's a tree root from a fig tree. And the fig trees just search for water, and they'll go wherever water is. So it's a fig tree on the surface looking for water among the sand and in the ground. This is 425 feet down from the surface. It is remarkable. And there is so much to sustain and nourish you and me in our walk in Christ, resident in this room. If we'll sink our roots deep with each other and sink them deep into Christ, because it's Christ that it's all about. That's why we're here. We are all in process, people being transformed into his image, and people whose God's grace has somehow poured out on them. And we simply offer ourselves out of that sense of grace to each other for our healing and our growth in him. I think that's one thing, one of the things that it's going to require. It's also going to require that we risk a little bit. And it requires us, each one of us, to change our perspective. So if it's primarily about us, then it needs to change to what Paul says in the text. It says, it builds and grows, it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Or you can say it the way the RSV writes it, or as it is working properly. Literally, this imagery is borrowed from another context. It's not the body now, it's not a building now, it's from the Greek theater. And this Greek theater, they were remarkable, amazing theaters. Some of you, has any of you gone, if you want to just raise your hand, you've seen something I have not seen. They must be absolutely remarkable. There is a person during this time that would often support or would provide the kind of financial backing for the actors and for the chorus for these amazing theatrical performances to occur. And that's what this word is borrowed from. So if we go back to our text, it says, you know, the person who did this sponsored the theater happening. They took out of their resources something and they made this happen. They were the benefactor. That's what they did. And the image is being applied to you and to me. We are now the sponsors through the gifts that God has given us of time and energy and personhood, personality, and Holy Spirit gifting. We are sponsoring this great play of Christ being on display to the world through his people. As each sponsors their part, as each person takes part, when we don't sponsor our part, something in the play doesn't happen. It just doesn't occur. The play isn't as rich as it could be. Something's missing. Let's not be missing. Would you join me in prayer? We thank you that you've called us together to be together in you, dear Jesus. Work in us in every way to help us grow as individuals in you and before you. We know that the Christian life isn't all about doing. It is in part becoming more like you. And yet there's your kingdom that you've invited us into, in your kingdom where somehow you're encouraging us, you're nudging us to be engaged. I know, Heavenly Father, that that's where the good stuff is. You working in us. Work in us to that end, we pray. Amen.